So today we're going to start, that's a weird title, huh? Today we're going to start with asking you guys a simple question. And I know that this is, I know this is church, but it's okay to raise your hand. How many people have you ever looked to when you're younger or whatever, and they had something that you wanted, and you wanted it, and you went and asked that you could get what they had? I think most of us could probably. And I was no different. Back in when I was growing up, there were Voltrons and G.I. Joes. That was huge back when I was growing up. And when I was, went over to my friend's house, his name was John. I went over to his house and he had this collection of G.I. Joes. He bought a G.I. Joe box and it had 7 G.I. Joes in it that none of them I had. And I thought I had them all. And they were some of the ones I had, but just in different clothes. And I remember going home specifically and asking for that. I was like, I gotta have that because I wanted to have that. I wanted more. I wanted to have it. And that's what we did as children is we kept doing that, right? And then we watched these TV commercials. And these TV commercials always tell us that we need more, 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 right? And as we've grown up, we've all believed that we've needed more. But if you remember growing up and you remember your days now, you can look at it and you can see that somebody always had more than you. We never had it all. We wanted it all, but we never had it all. And we always were striving and trying to get it all. But if you go back and you think about everything, it gets to the moral of the story today. And the moral of the story is simply this. There's always somebody with more in life, right? And we know this. There's always someone that is rich-er, who's skinny-er, who's smart-er, who is cooler, who is more talented-er. Sorry, English people. And their job is better-er, right? We can all relate to this because this is what this world wants us to do. I mean, everywhere we look, whatever we want to do, whatever we want to be good at, or whatever we think we're good at, or we think that we have accomplished, there's always somebody with more-er. So what we do, or we have the tendency to do, is we try to find people with less-er. Because when we are with people that have less-er, we feel superior-er. I know, I'm really freaking English people out. And we all want to feel like we have it going on, don't we? We all want to feel like that about ourselves. So this becomes a dynamic that we've had to live with and that we've adjusted to and we've become comfortable with. And I'm not sure it really ever goes away. I'm not sure that there's a secret weapon that can make all that go away. And then there's some of us, we don't want to be the person with more. We want to be an est. We want to be the richest. We want to be the smartest. We want to be the healthiest. We want to be the cutest. But the moral of the story, and I think all of us have seen this, the moral of the story with this is that there is no win in comparison. And we know this. We've all heard this before. In fact, comparison, that's what puts the dis in discontentment. And discontentment fueled by comparison is dangerous. And this isn't new information. As we're going to see in a few minutes, and all of us have our story, we're going to see that there's no win in comparison, and discontentment fueled by comparison is dangerous. And unfortunately, with all this, we live in a social media world. We can see everybody's everything, right? Everybody puts it out there. And I'm not knocking on social media. I think it does have its place. But when we are constantly bombarded with photos and videos of what others have and the vacations they're going on and all that, it puts us in a state of constant comparing. And this whole comparison thing, this is what puts us at odds with people that we know that we will never be like. And we make decisions that we wouldn't otherwise make. And then we take it a step further and we shrink back and create reasons why they're not okay. And they are okay. The problem is that we're not okay. And this isn't a problem that can be solved, right? And there's a second problem that comes along with this, and I kind of call it the they problem. Because, you see, we hear this voice in our head saying that we need to have what they have in order to be respected, accepted, and loved. But guys, so do they. And that puts us always chasing each other. Somebody's always chasing somebody with more. In fact, and I've talked about Solomon, I think, last time I was up here. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. He had it all, he did it all, and he summarized it this way for us. He says, that envy rots the bones. I mean, that's a pretty extreme picture for us. But I think that goes to show that for almost as long as time has existed, that there is a clear understanding of what happens when we compare ourselves to others. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you guys how to make it all go away, but that's just not possible. But I do want to try to help us all learn how to manage this tension better. And even though it may not go away, it does not have to control us. And it does not have to drive us, because as long as we are trying to keep up with people that we can't keep up with, we don't have any margin to give to other people. And I don't have any margin to support the things that I want to support. Because I'm trying to keep up with people that don't even know I'm trying to keep up with them. So this isn't a problem that's ever solved, but this is a tension that we all have Christians, that we have to learn to manage, especially as Christians, because this intersects completely with our relationship with our Heavenly Father, who has called us according to His purpose. And an interesting question to entertain here. What if you missed God's purpose because you were trying to keep up with someone else's purpose? And the thing is, we don't really know their purpose, do we? We don't live their life daily, so it's literally just a myth of their purpose. So what if you miss God's purpose because you were trying to keep up with the myth of someone else's purpose? See, we're going to see a word or phrase here in just a minute that Solomon has given us that'll help us kind of personify this illusion that we all chase, this thing that has the potential to steal the joy of life. So what I want to do with our remaining time is to give us a mental line of defense. And I know that may sound a little weird, but, you know, guys, I am a counselor, and I think we're all just a little weird. But a mental line of defense, a place that you can go to, you know, a place that you can just, when you start to drift towards envy or discontentment emotionally, you can have something mentally to say, enough's enough. Because for most of us, even though it starts here with our eyes, possibly our ears, it gets emotional really quick. Suddenly we're feeling behind. We're feeling unloved. We're feeling ugly. We're feeling like we're not keeping up. We're feeling like we're not where we ought to be. So I just want to work on giving us a couple phrases that I really hope that we all can drive down deep into our soul. And as we experience the tug or hear that whisper, that we would have a place to go to mentally to tell ourselves something that is so true and so instructional. All right, so back to Solomon, wisest guy that ever lived, and we're jumping right into a narrative here. This is smack dab in the middle of something that he was saying. And he says kind of, he's telling us what he's been seeing. He's an old man now. He's been there and done that with almost everything. He's so wealthy and has accomplished so much, and he has all of this life experience, and he's downloading it for us so we can gain insight, since we may never experience it ourselves. He says, and this is in Ecclesiastes 4:4 is where we're starting. He says, and I saw. Now he's obviously, again, we're jumping the narrative, so he's talking about something he saw in the past. And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. He's saying, yep, I've seen it. I've seen what's happening out there. This isn't new, guys. He says, this is something that's out there at least 3,000 years or older. In other words, he's saying, I looked around and I realized that everybody is simply competing. He's saying that it's shocking and this is embarrassing, but everybody is determining where they are based on where everybody else is. And then he goes on to say this, this too is meaningless. And then he goes ahead and he gives us this phrase that I was talking about a minute ago. He gives us this mental image. He gives us a phrase that I think would be a really great idea for us to memorize. And I want this to become part of that mental language. And mental language is just that part where it's that stuff that goes on in our head that we don't actually say out loud. And guys, this is so important. This is something that can change momentum for anybody. So I'm going to read the whole verse, and then I'm going to add the phrase. It says, and I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless. And here's our phrase, a chasing after the wind. Isn't that powerful? Chasing after the wind, it's endless. It's pointless. There's no finish line. There's no trophy at the end of this because there is no winner. And there's no peace at all. There's just dissatisfaction guaranteed. Because comparison is what puts the discontentment is dissatisfaction guaranteed. It steals the joy. And here's the tragedy of this. It steals the joy from our own accomplishments. It steals the joy from what we have done. It steals the joy from the goals that we have set and we have accomplished because someone else has accomplished more. So when we catch ourselves looking, when we catch ourselves drifting, and we probably will do this before our day's even over, when we catch ourselves, and maybe some of us, me included, we'll have to say this out loud, whatever it takes to stop us, we just have to say, that's chasing the wind. And I don't chase the wind. I mean, do we really believe that it's worth spending the rest of our lives chasing the wind? We will always find someone with more er. And we know this because our life is too valuable and our life is too short and our time is too valuable to waste any of it chasing the wind. So the moment those emotions and those feelings of inadequacy appear, we need to remind ourselves that that's chasing the wind. And I don't chase the wind. Now, fortunately for Solomon, Solomon's not through there, because he knows there's another side to this, and he knows that some of us are thinking, because this whole idea of chasing the wind is not an invitation to be passive. He wasn't like, just live and let live. It doesn't really matter. But in terms of his life personally, remember, he accomplished a great deal. So here's what he says. He says, don't take this to an unhealthy extreme. He says, fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Fools say, well, you know what? Since I can't keep up, since everyone else is better than me, I'm just not even going to try. Someone says, no. Only a fool does that. Being unproductive is not the answer. So he brings us in this next verse, and this is so powerful. He brings these two extremes together, and he's like, look, don't spend your life chasing the wind, and don't fold your hands and go, oh, well, why try? And this is yet another statement that I think we should all memorize. He says this. He says, better with one hand of with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing the wind. Isn't that great? I mean, look at that imagery that he just gave us. He says that it is better to have one handful with tranquility, which automatically rubs us the wrong way. Because in our culture, we don't want one, we want two. We want more and more. If I had four hands, I want four hands full. It's all about more. And he says, okay, look guys, I have more than all of you. So let's just be quiet and hear what I'm saying, okay? I'm telling you, it's better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing the wind. And tranquility simply means satisfaction in this case. Tranquility is an inner joy, an inner peace that no one can touch. And don't mistake joy for happiness. Here's another visual for you about happiness. Happiness is like chasing a rabbit. You'll see it, it'll be over there. You can be quiet and you can try to sneak up on it. But one little mistake and that rabbit takes off and you're out chasing it again. You get close, and then it goes down a hole, and you have no idea where it is, and then it pops up out of another hole, and you're like, oh, there it is, and you go running after it. That's happiness. Joy is an inner peace that nobody can touch. You don't give that to anybody. That is yours. Nobody can take that from you. So let's not mistake joy for happiness. This is the time where we want to bring in and just find that inner peace that no one can touch. And in all this, guys, we assume that more is better, but chasing always leaves us wanting more. And here's his point, and this is why it's so powerful. He says, less is more when the less you hold is what you were created for. He says, less is actually more when the less you hold is what you were designed for, what you were created for, and what you were born to do. Better one handful of tranquility than grasping and striving and pretending and competing. Then he goes on. He says, let me tell you something else I saw. You know, while we're talking about this, again he said, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. And we don't know if this man was real. You know, it could be just a story that he was telling to make his point here. But to which we may be like, okay, Solomon, so what? The guy didn't have a son or brother. Why do you say that? But see, in this culture, if you didn't have a son and if you didn't have a brother, then there was no one to leave your estate and wealth to. Because in ancient times, women could not inherit anything. So here's a guy that's been working hard. He has something to show for, but he doesn't have someone to leave it to. And he has something to show for it, but yet he's feeling a little lost here. And then Solomon says, he tells a story and he says this, there was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. So he's working hard, he's getting more and more. Then this guy finally stops and asks a question that some of us have never asked. And I know I wish I would have learned this at a younger age. But if we can begin to ask ourselves this question early on, it will help us. We will learn to be content with one handful, with tranquility, and we won't be content. Not like we want to be content, like we won't accomplish anything. We will accomplish all we were born to accomplish, but we will do it with peace and tranquility, and that's the difference. Because here's a question that this guy forgot to ask, and that most of us forget to ask. And I think some of us in our lives, we hit this eye-opening moment at different stages and on different topics. But he says, for whom am I toiling? This is what this guy says. He says, for whom am I toiling? He finally asked the question. I mean, he's been going on and on year after year. And he's like, he finally hit that moment when he was like, wait, who am I doing this for? Who am I doing this with and who am I doing this for? Why am I trying to prove and who am I trying to prove it to? Now, this is a hard question. And this is a question I think all of us are going to have to wrestle to the ground. And it's never too late, because there is an answer to this question, whether we have asked it or not, and whether we think that we know the answer or not. There's an answer to this question. Why are we doing this? Why are we striving and pushing and toiling so much? Who is it really for? For some of us, it might be our brother, our sister. Some of us, we're still trying to live up to our parents' expectations. And guys, this is not a fight that we can win. And you know how I know that? Because I know you guys. If you could have won, you would have won by now. If I could have won, I would have won by now. Some of us are fighting and striving to get that approval or that smile from someone that's just not capable of giving it to us. And we've never stopped and asked that powerful question, who am I doing this for? Why am I doing this? Whose approval am I competing for? And do they even know? And do they even care? And would it even matter if they did? The man says, for whom am I toiling? And then he goes on, and this is the same fictitious guy that Solomon knew that sort of represents humanity. He says, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? And the thing about this guy is that he accomplished so much, and he has no one to leave it to, and he's not even enjoying his stuff anymore. He's so bound up with more stuff and chasing the wind, and then he's like, wait a minute, who am I doing this for? And why is it that I'm not even enjoying the fruit of my labor? It's because he never took the time to wrestle with this question. Why am I doing this to begin with? And some of us find ourselves in that same situation. And we aren't enjoying our life, and we aren't enjoying our life in a way that anybody else can enjoy our life either. Because people sense our angst, and it will become their angst. And the thing is, there are probably 500 million people on this earth right now, somewhere, that would look at your life, look at my life, and they'd look at where we are and consider us one of the luckiest people on earth. But we don't see it that way. Why not? Because we don't know why or who we're even doing all this for. One handful with peace and tranquility is so much better than two handfuls with toil and chasing the wind. And Solomon, he was a very honest guy, and he says this. This too is meaningless, a miserable business. I don't think he mistook his words there. I think he knew exactly what he was talking about. It's meaningless. It's miserable. Guys, listen to me. We will never be able to be who we were born to be as long as we are looking over our shoulder at everybody else. Because the energy we expend looking left and looking right and looking over our shoulder, that's energy that God gave to us to do what it is that we are called to do. We have to learn to run our own race and quit chasing the wind. Now back to Solomon, here's what he says. This is the first part of the verse, that the very first verse I gave you, and the rest of it. He says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. We cannot, it doesn't matter how rich or how poor or how much we think we have, we cannot compare our way to peace. We cannot compare our way to tranquility. We can't win chasing the wind. God has given us a race to run, and we need to get in our lane, and we need to focus, and we need to stay there in our lane, the lane that God has for us. It's okay, guys, to look at other people for inspiration, but not imitation. That means that we can look at others and be happy for them. We can look to others and be proud of them. But we cannot look at them and waste an ounce of our energy resenting them or being jealous of them. Because I'm running my race and I'm staying in the lane that God has put me in. Jordan Peterson's an author. He does some self-help books. He wrote a little book called 12 Rules for Life. And I absolutely love, love, love what he wrote. He says, compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. And oh my gosh, guys, isn't that fantastic? What if we all could do that? Here's what he's saying. If you have to compare, that's okay. But compare yourself to yourself. Because even if today you are microscopically better than you were yesterday, then that's progress. There's no chasing the wind there. Please don't miss the life. Don't miss what life that God has for you. We will never experience our life fully until we embrace the life that is right in front of us. And we can all begin this today, because when our emotions start to drift and they're getting the best of us, we need to stop and we need to declare to ourselves our phrase, I will not chase the wind. I do not chase the wind. I will run my race in my lane. And if we do, we will become that person that God has created us to be. If we're here today and you're a Christian, this is really great news, isn't it? Because we believe in the Bible, and the Bible has a story in it for us from Solomon, wisest man ever to live. We can read this, we can believe this, and we can see hope. We can have faith. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, the answer is simple, at least to us. Come forward during this song. Talk to us. Let us pray with you. Let us baptize you so you can go to heaven, so you can have this Bible, so you can have this book, so you can have all the instructional information right in front of you. That way that you are not chasing the wind and you can have a life of peace and tranquility. So as the band comes forward and they're going to sing an invitation song, I invite you to come forward. I'll be up here and be more than happy to pray with you guys.